This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We are glad you are with us and invite you to tune in every Sunday on this station.
Does the Bible need to be updated? Many are saying that it does, so we'll talk about it today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit into our midst, and that through your word you will speak to us, to tell us those eternal truths once again. Sometimes, O God, the question comes, isn't it time to update that word? We pray, O God, that from you we may find the answer that once was given to the people who were among the Hebrews. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Friends in Christ, in 1938, my home congregation presented to me and the rest of my confirmation class a Bible. I had been taught that this was God's holy word, and that if we would read its message, it would change our lives. I believed that. Why shouldn't I? My pastor told me, my parents told me, my friends told me. But as a typical teenager of 14 years of age, I probably didn't take it too seriously. Today, I believe from personal experience that that gift from the congregation was very powerful. For I have experienced what it has done to my life, and I have experienced, as a pastor in the church, what it has done for thousands of other people. Now, 70 years later, with a society that is continually going through great change, and some of it is very good, ask the question, does this Bible need to be updated? No one would question for a minute that good theological research is ongoing. When men of faith give of their all to help us with new understandings of some of these biblical truths, it is very important. But when the message, the basic message, is being changed, then I wonder if that is good. Do we really need to have an updated Bible? You see, to safeguard this eternal truth, our churches stated in its confessional writings, for example, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and the only authority in all matters of faith and life. If this be true, why all of these strange statements that we hear about biblical changes coming to us this day? In order that I might be more concrete and not just preaching around in a circle, let me try to tell you what I'm talking about. It was after a funeral, and a very, very committed churchman from another congregation came to me and said, "Pastor, could I just ask you one question, because I'm very concerned. Are all people saved?" And I hurriedly said, "Oh my, no, of course not. Why do you ask that question? Was there something in the funeral message?" "Oh no," he said. "But the other day when I had a discussion with my pastor, he told me that it was his conviction that no one was lost, and all people are saved. And that bothers me." And I said to him, "Thank God that it does. For what you stand for is biblical truth. Only those who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord have the promise of a place in heaven." One Monday morning, I went to the restaurant where some people meet and had a cup of coffee with them. A lady, perhaps in her 70s, said to me and to all those sitting around the table, "Pastor, are all people going to go to heaven?" And I answered by saying, "Wouldn't it be nice if they were?" She said, "It would. But I don't believe they all are." And I said, "What causes you to ask me that question?" And she replied, "Yesterday, my pastor said," and he's young and fresh out of the theological seminary, "all people are saved." I questioned her for just a moment, wanted to make sure that she was saying what she really meant. And she said, "I absolutely am." And her husband stood there shaking his head in approval and said, "Yes, according to that young man, all people are saved." And I could only say, "Well, on the basis of the scripture, that is not true." Some years ago now, I listened to one of our professors from the theological seminary, and as he was presenting this lecture to mostly pastors, but a few lay people, he said, "The Bible has to be interpreted in the light of our culture." As I recall that setting, there was not a single solitary pastor who said a word. But in the middle of the group, there was a lay person. And he said, "May I ask you a question? Did I hear you say that the Bible has to be interpreted in the light of our culture?" And the professor said, "Yes." Well, he said, "When I was in confirmation class and throughout the years as a member of the church, I have been taught that the Christians are the salt of the earth. In other words, we are to change culture. And now as a teacher of younger pastors, you are saying, that the culture can change us.
The professor moved on in his lecture, really never giving this man a satisfactory answer.
All of this, I think, has been sparked in our day by these questions: is it all right for practicing homosexuals to be ordained pastors in the church? And as I mentioned to you the last 2 weeks, and soon we're going to get off this subject, but I think it needs an airing, there are those who are convinced that this should happen. For it has been debated not once, not twice, but soon a third time, giving the practicing homosexual the right to be the pastor in our churches, and the right to bless same-sex marriages. Can you imagine that ever being discussed, say, 20 years ago in our churches? It would never have been heard of, and yet it very flippantly is discussed today. Here's another one. Was Jesus Christ mistaken when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father but by me"? Is that one of the passages that calls for an updated Bible? You see, we are living in a tough time in the church. Tough time, at least in some churches. You may say, why do you focus on certain sins and let others go unnoticed? The practice of homosexuality is a topic central in our discussion in the church today. I will agree. But I will also agree that no, it should not have more treatment than any other. I think it is well for us to turn to a passage of Scripture that we have written by St. Paul, found in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 9. Here the apostle writes, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were." Notice the past tense. "But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Now, there's quite a list of sins. Idolaters, are we not all, to some extent, idolaters? Don't we have our idols? Are there not times that we really want to put things before Jesus Christ? That then means that we have an idol. Here is the matter of adulterers. We've perhaps said enough about that. Prostitutes, homosexual offenders. But drunkards. I've had some friends who were ordained and were very capable people, but became alcoholics. And it was necessary for them to return their ordination papers and get out of the pulpit. I can't imagine if anybody were picked up for stealing, and I'm sure there have been those cases, that they would be permitted to continue on in the ministerial roster. Now, when you get to the next one, that perhaps gets a little closer to town: greedy. And we need to deal with that. For I sense in my own soul from time to time there is just a little too much of that greed. But I think the church deals with it. swindlers. Yeah, we've dealt with those people too. But I agree that you just should not pick up one particular sin according to the Word of God and deal with that and let all others be made light of. I don't really think we have. I think that some of the officials of our church, and I think primarily now of our bishops, have put in some long hours trying to help the people who had become unfaithful in their marriage. Dealing with the drunkards. Pornography. We need to give a great deal of encouragement to our bishops. They have a tough time. One of our bishops told me not long ago that a fair amount of his time is spent dealing with pastors whose behavior has been offensive not only to the congregation, but to the general public. So that's the life. But now let's talk about what we believe and what we teach. Is there any heresy that is going on in the church? Well, you know, friend, according to the confessions of our beloved Evangelical Lutheran Church, there is. When a person says that there is more than one way to heaven, that is heresy. That is contrary to the teaching not only of the Word of God, but the confessions of the church. And you can go on and say, well, it's a different age. And the day that we are a part of, it just has all kinds of people from all kinds of religions. And if you want to have a hearing from them, then you have to begin to probably do a little rewriting of the scripture. No. No, no. And I personally believe that it is time to have some trials in the church. I believe it is time to find out what is really going on. Some of the teachings from our pulpits and from our lecterns in the seminaries. Perhaps there is nothing. And that'll be fine to have a complete exoneration. But if any of those teachers are going contrary to the Word of God or the confessions of that church, they need to be dealt with. The church is to be strong. Notice what St. Paul said. It matters not what Homer Larson says. He's only an old preacher who's about ready to give it all up. In the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 9, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know this? And then there's the list of which we have just discussed. And drop down to verse 11, and that is what some of you were. Now, Paul says in Corinth, they had these kind of people. But now it's different. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, what Paul is saying is that a person can be changed. The lifestyle can be changed. Being good to a person is to let them know that that forgiveness is there to be theirs, and God wants to give it to them, anxious to give it to them. Then they can be a new person. But it does them no good to let their wrong, which they know in the bottom of their heart is wrong, keep right on, putting it under the rug. This should not be. So we come to the question, well, what should we do about all of this? And according to St. Paul, this needs to be dealt with. The Bible is not to be updated. We are not to change it, just that it may fit better into our culture. Paul, writing to the Galatian church, said, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But you watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. But who's going to do this? Who wants to do this? And I don't know, you may have a better answer than I. This is not inspired, but it seems to me that's where the leadership in the church comes in. And a congregation is something is going on that is very, very serious, and the soul of a person is at stake. Then the leading lay people, together with the clergy, need to deal with this. If in that congregation there is something with the clergy, the laity has a responsibility. In the church at large, if there is something there, then it's the bishops. God give them grace and God give them peace. But they are the ones who have been elected by the people of the church that the word of God might be heard. No, the Word of God does not need to be updated. In a day that has gone so far away from the Word of God, it needs to be strengthened with a dynamic message from each congregation. Amen.
Take all my guilt
Lord Jesus, your word speaks very clearly to us. So clearly at times it even hurts. But so clearly that we can have that great relief to know that coming to the foot of the cross, we are yours forever. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray this day for your church. We pray for its leadership. It is not our purpose to sit here and attack. It is our purpose to pray and to ask you to give them strength. And if it be necessary for them to deal with us, then, O God, give them the grace to do that too. But, Father in heaven, your word is truth, and it need not be updated, even in our day of change. Today we pray for those who are sick, for the sorrowing, for the dying. Come close to them, Lord, and whisper into their ears that good news of salvation. For there is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Bless and be with our country. We know its problems, at least in part. We know, O God, that we need people of real character to run our nation. We know that we need people who know you. Give us this leadership. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May God's richest blessings be with you this week. Christian Crusaders invite you to make a donation in the name of a loved one who has passed away. This memorial gift is fully tax deductible and is a wonderful way to honor a family member or friend. Please call us for more information or direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders now offers a DVD video series of sermons, Basic Biblical Truths, by Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. This video series provides viewers with five uplifting, gospel-centered messages. For a suggested donation of $10 each or $50 for the five-disc set, you can now put a face to the voice you hear each week on our program. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copies of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You may also call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Or visit us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.